It has always been a special connection. The piano teacher, sometimes tyrannical, often strict, just as often affectionate and dedicated, and the piano student, scared, excited, frustrated, inspired, both in the grip of the keys and when things are working, making beautiful music together. This morning, Bernadette Griffin brings us her story of yearning, of generosity, and of lasting love. It's called Piano Lessons.
I fell in love with the piano when I was 6. I was in grade 1 at Leonard's school. Every morning, the bell pierced through the cacophony in the schoolyard. The heavy doors with the brass hinges were ceremoniously flung open, and Sister Cecilia Gertrude, the piano teacher, stationed herself at a lumbering, upright piano in the lobby. She hammered out a thunderous version of The Maple Leaf Forever while we solemnly marched, two by two, up the stairs and into our classrooms. When Sister Cecilia Gertrude played The Maple Leaf Forever, it was as if a ferocious storm were raging underneath her black robes. The piano shook. The stuffed owl fought to keep its balance on its perch above it. The window frames rattled. When Sister Cecilia Gertrude played The Maple Leaf Forever, stabs of pleasure entered my sullen 6-year-old body. My shoes felt lighter. My heart beat harder. Soon I was pestering my mother for piano lessons. "Piano lessons," she said, salvaging a fistful of cutlery from a pan of murky dishwater. "There's no money for that here. Your father's only been working steady at the Arsenal since June. And what would you play on, anyway?" I stopped asking. But every day my best friend Kathleen Mahoney and I walked home from school past Lindsay's piano store, the only piano store in Quebec City. The storefront was one giant glistening sheet of glass. But if we cupped our hands around our eyes and glued our noses to the glass, we could see the pianos. They shone. Kathleen Mahoney said they looked lonely, as if they were waiting for someone to visit them, like when she was sent to the hospital with diphtheria and her parents came and looked at her through a glass because she was so contagious. A few weeks later, I asked again. My mother said the kids didn't understand anything, that we still owed Dr. Verge for taking out my brother's tonsils last winter, and with this winter breathing down our necks, we'd be needing a ton of coal, and it wasn't cheap. "But the lessons only cost $5, I pleaded, barely moving my lips to minimize the cost. "And I could have one lesson a week instead of two." She reached up into her glass money jar over the kitchen sink and pressed 4 $5 bills into my damp little hand, folding my fingers over the bills as she did dough over filling. On the way to school, I pictured my brother's tonsils, wondering why it cost more to take things out than to put things in. Sister Cecilia Gertrude was giving a lesson when I knocked at her door. The piano lurched to a stop, and there she was. I'd never seen her from the front. With her round red face, puff cheeks, and O-shaped lips, she looked like pictures of the wind I'd seen in books. The stiff white coif seemed to squeeze her face and make it bulge like a picture that was too big for its frame. A rosary of marble-sized black beads and a silver crucifix hung heavily from her waist. When she moved, she clicked and swished. I handed her the damp and crumbled dollars, and my piano lessons began. At the lesson, Sister Cecilia Gertrude was much like she was when she played The Maple Leaf Forever, glaring, explosive, stormy. And you could feel the storm intensify as the lesson went on, as her face got redder and redder. Wrong notes, incorrect fingerings, slowing down for the hard parts, ignoring sharps or flats, brought out what she called the original sin in her. A yard-long pointer cracking down across your knuckles. Other times she seemed to wrestle with herself, clutching her crucifix in both hands like saints did on holy cards, rolling her eyes at the ceiling, telling somebody up there that students were her Garden of Gethsemane, her purgatory here on earth. I'd heard about purgatory, but not about the Garden of Gethsemane, although my friend Kathleen Mahoney said her aunt had been there on her honeymoon and it was near Niagara Falls. After the first faltering month, I confessed to Sister Cecilia Gertrude that we didn't have a piano. "Well, then," she said, "you'll have to practice in the studio down the hall, every morning from 7:30 to 8:30. But when I presented the next month's bill to my mother for the lessons and a Couperin first book of pieces, she threw up her hands and said to tell the nun we had 7 mouths to feed and they didn't eat sheets of music. On the way to school that day, I rehearsed different excuses, not being sure what nuns knew about mouths to feed. But when I knocked on her studio door, the words got crumpled in a heap inside my throat. I stood there helpless and wept. Tears of shame. Shame for not having the money. Shame for the tears. Come to your lessons anyway, she said, gathering my miserable body into her swishy black skirts and daubing my tears with her huge white handkerchief. And so I went anyway, for 11 years. When I finished high school, the piano lessons finished too. I took my Beethoven sonatas, Debussy preludes, Bach partitas, Mendelssohn's songs without words, home for the first time, and stuffed them away in the bottom drawer of my dresser. After working for 2 years in the Yellow Pages department of the Bell Telephone and saving my money, I went to nursing school. 5 years later, I'm swishing from room to room in my white starched uniform, making my rounds in the hospital's orthopedic unit, visiting new patients. I enter room 202, and there she is, Sister Cecilia Gertrude, lying on a Stryker frame, with both legs suspended in air. She'd fallen through a rusted-out fire escape balcony at the convent and fractured a hip and both legs. My eyes moved away in disbelief and back again. Without her coif, that rosiness, that fullness had gone from her cheeks. Without her black robes and long pointer, she looked fragile, even childlike, lying there among the damp and crumpled bedsheets. And when she said, "Oh, it's you, Bernadette," with that imploring look you often see in patients, all those years with her came racing back. The maple leaf forever, the cracks on the knuckles, roses awakening, the first piece I learned with pedal and loved so much, the sonatas and preludes I grew to love, the used piano I bought a year ago. But most of all, I remembered how she had gathered me into her swishy skirts that miserable day and said, "Come anyway." I nursed Sister Cecilia Gertrude while her bones knit. I lifted her off the Stryker frame, gathered her into my swishy uniform as she took her first faltering steps on spindly legs. And when she wept, I wiped away the tears. In a way, her few months with me and my 11 years with her created a kind of equilibrium, a bit like in a sonata, where a theme evoked in the first movement returns again in the last. The first utterance now transformed by what has happened in between, giving a sense of proportion and finality to the whole piece.
Bernadette Griffin lives in Montreal. This is Daniel Barenboim with the first of Felix Mendelssohn's Songs Without Words. Daniel Barenboim with music by Mendelssohn. Incidentally, next week on our program, we'll hear the story of another remarkable connection between piano teacher and student.